Welcome to the Action Network Podcast, the number one show for the invested sports fan. Ready?
All right, here we go.
From the 10, throwing end zone. Spectacular catch.
They're saying it's a catch.
Touchdown.
You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Big bank, small bank, I like to make money.
All right.
That is the ultimate kibosh.
You want to bet?
And we are underway.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NFL Week 13 Fantasy Flex on the Action Network Podcast. I'm Matthew Friedman, the editor-in-chief of Fantasy Labs. With me, as always, is Sean Corner and Chris Raybon. Sean is our director of predictive analytics and one of the top in-season fantasy football rankers for the past half decade. And Chris is a senior editor and analyst at the Action Network and a co-host of the Action Network show on Sirius XM Fantasy Radio. And then joining us is a Fantasy Flex OG, Peter Jennings, a.k.a. CSU Ram 88, a two-time DFS world champion and a co-founder of Fantasy Labs. First of all, happy Thanksgiving to everyone, especially to our listeners.
Happy Thanksgiving, gamblers. We're thankful for you.
Secondly, Pete, I want to kick it to you. What food are you most looking forward to eating on Thanksgiving?
I'm looking forward to the pies. I'm not some savage like Adam Levitan who eats shrimp lo mein on Thanksgiving, but I know that's a popular take. I'm looking forward to the pies. Try to be disciplined with my diet. Thanksgiving, that's out the window. We got football, so should be a lot of fun.
Any inclination as to what type of pie you're going to indulge in?
I'll probably have pumpkin, cherry, and key lime. I'm a huge key lime pie guy. Key lime pie is not normally a Thanksgiving pie, but it's my favorite pie, so I'll have that, of course, as well.
Yeah. Call me old-fashioned. I think every type of pie is a Thanksgiving pie, but I'm a pie truther. Raybon, what about you?
I'm a big stuffing guy. Stuffing's something you don't really get to have too much of during the rest of the year, so always looking forward to that. And I agree with Pete. I'm big on pie. Apple pie is probably my favorite, but pumpkin pie this time of year is another one that you don't really get year-round, so looking forward to that.
All right, Corner, what about you for the food?
I'm all about pumpkin pie with just a dollop of whipped cream. I hate turkey, so I fade turkey. That's not the part I look forward to on Thanksgiving. I'm all about the pumpkin pie. That's my favorite part.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, in this episode, we're going to take a look at the three-game Thanksgiving slate. And then after that, we're breaking down the players at the top of our rankings, which are available at actionnetwork.com/fantasy. We are discussing the guys we are high and low on, and we're speculating on some props. Let's jump into week 13. For the three-game slate on Thanksgiving, we have the Bears at the Lions. I don't know why anyone would want to watch that game other than the fact that it's football on a Thursday early in the day. So that might be reason enough to watch it. But Bears at Lions, Bills at Cowboys, and Saints at Falcons. Sean, I want to kick it to you first here. In terms of how to approach the Thursday games from a season-long perspective, and then we will have some DFS talk after that. But what are your thoughts for how people should be approaching these games?
You don't need me to tell you to start Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, Alvin Kamara, Mike Thomas, those guys. If you have any sit-start decisions, look at our updated rankings Thursday morning and, you know, play the guys that are ranked higher. I will say two, sharp strategies for Thanksgiving. Number one, as always, don't use your flex position if you can avoid it. You don't want to, you know, block yourself from, Sunday or Monday sit-start decision where you could have used that flex slot. And a more advanced technique I would use for Thursday is if you have a sit-start call between, say, a Thursday player and like a Sunday or Monday, I would err towards, you know, sticking with the Sunday guy. A perfect example would be Randall Cobb versus, say, A.J. Brown. So Randall Cobb plays Thursday, A.J. Brown plays Sunday. They're pretty much the same in my rankings. But if you have access to a guy like James Washington, for example, that's a bit lower. If Juju Smith-Schuster is ruled out, again, he's going to shoot up in the rankings and you will wish you played him. So that's why I try to prevent locking in, you know, 50-50 coin flip guys like a Randall Cobb on Thursday when you're really giving up sort of the ceiling or the upside of your team by doing that. So I would say when in tough calls, stick with the Sunday or Monday guys for that reason.
Okay. Pete, in terms of DFS strategy, it's a short slate, so you have to keep that in mind, but it's different than your typical showdown slate, which is one game. So can you talk a little bit about strategy and optimal ways for approaching a slate like this?
Well, this is one of the best holidays from a DFS perspective we have. First of all, everyone's inside there with their relatives, and action flows more so on Thanksgiving than basically any other day of the year. Obviously, in the beginning in September, you have a lot of action, a lot of advertising dollars coming in. But Thanksgiving, historically, there's just a ton of action. So it's a great time to be selective with your game selection and just do the right things because there's plenty of great action. In terms of strategy, you have to be aware of late swap and making sure you're managing your tournament teams as well as your cash game teams. We have the best game of the slate as the last game, and there's going to be some chalky options in that game, but there's also some really good pivots. So make sure you're keeping your optionality and you're maximizing late swap to your advantage. And I think roster construction is going to be really tricky. You have a dead position outside of, you know, one guy really at tight end. So we're going to see how rosters end up being built. And that seems to be a theme on Thanksgiving. We seem to just have awful tight ends. I think Jared Cook's obviously a good option, but he's expensive. And after that, there's warts all over the rest of the guys. So it'll be interesting to see roster construction because we have a lot of stars, some value, but then a dead position in tight end.
All right, Ravon, you write our individual showdown slate breakdowns. You're also going to be writing the piece for this Thanksgiving Day slate that will come out on Fantasy Labs probably Wednesday night or Thursday. Everyone should be sure to look for that. But give us some of your early strategy thoughts for this slate. Anything you have to add on what Pete said?
First of all, I do want to reinforce the late swap. Always keep it in mind. Put the player with the latest start time in your flex position so that you have the maximum flexibility. But as far as this slate in particular, I think it kind of mirrors the larger slates a little bit at this point, where a lot of data that we can trust, and there are certain players we just know have these super high floors. I think one of them is Michael Thomas, right? So Michael Thomas would be a guy that I wouldn't try to get cute at receiver. Even if I'm starting Drew Brees at quarterback, I wouldn't be afraid to stack. First of all, that's one thing. There's only three games, obviously. So you don't necessarily need to try to get a piece of every game, especially when we have two games that, or at least three teams on the slate that could end up a little lower scoring in the Bears, the Lions, and the Bills. So I would definitely lock in a guy like Thomas and generally trend toward locking in the high floor guys first. So when I made my initial lineup, I had Drew Brees, I had Alvin Kamara, I had Ezekiel Elliott, and I had Michael Thomas. And then I'm just – the rest of the strategy is just trying to optimize around those four guys, because I think you could try to get cute and go with some value at running back, maybe a guy like Devin Singletary or somebody like that. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, those high floor, high ceiling guys are going to pay off, because they're going to be a lot of lineups. As Pete said, there's a lot of action and a lot of, you know, people playing. There might be a lot of lineups that fade just one of those guys, and it might be the wrong guy. So you might have an edge just by kind of sticking to your guns, playing those high floor guys, and using your kind of your skill and the fact that you do listen to these podcasts and put some thought into this to just kind of optimize with those lower salary guys around the studs.
So, Pete, any players in particular really stand out to you for this three-game slate?
Well, Ravon just mentioned the core group of guys you're looking at. You start your lineup with those four guys, you're dumpster diving the rest of the way. So it's tricky. I think Michael Thomas is definitely a lock. He's basically a running back. On DraftKings, his worst game is 16 fantasy points, which is just ridiculous. So I totally agree with that, and all those options are really strong. What I'm looking at now is trying to figure out where I want to go for value. I guess one guy is standing out for value right now for me is Anthony Miller. The Chicago Bears receivers are going to be volatile. You have a bad quarterback, you have a low team total, but he's basically min price over on FanDuel, and he's a pretty cheap price tag on DraftKings. So he's someone I'm looking at. It's just a tricky slate, man, outside of those staple plays. So we'll dive more into it. But, yeah, the Bears receivers for value look decent to me so far.
Yeah, I have another guy, you know, right. I love Miller, too. Loved him these past couple of weeks. Honestly, he's running essentially like a route on over 80%, 90% of the snaps now. Russell Gage, another guy in Atlanta, because Julio Jones looks like he's banged up. And the Saints have done a good job, actually, of taking out top receivers at times. So if Julio's banged up or out or limited, Calvin Ridley also could run into trouble as well. So like Russell Gage, and you know, we'll see what happens with Devontae Freeman, but I think you know, Brian Hill, as bad as it's been these past couple of weeks, he's still getting the majority share of the carries. So you have to look at him. Devin Singletary, another guy. Cole Beasley, for the Buffalo Bills. Yet another guy, you know, revenge game narrative, yes, against the Cowboys. So there are definitely some options, which is kind of why I said I think this slate kind of lends itself to going with the studs, because there are options. It's just kind of figuring out the optimal pair, and I think tight end is going to end up being that toughest position, because you might end up going with, like, we'll see what happens with Hockenson, but you might end up going with a guy like Logan Thomas or something that you would never otherwise play, or Ben Broniker or something like that. So it could get ugly at tight end.
I totally agree with that. And just to piggyback the Beasley thing, didn't think about the narrative, and I got to bump him up in the projections. But I do think it's a week where, you know, Jared Cook obviously is going to project as one of the top points per dollar tight ends, because all these other guys are going to be so low, but there's a lot of opportunity cost. So going with just a gross tight end probably makes sense. And we'll see how the injuries play out.
Yeah, and to talk about Russell Gage, Raybon, you mentioned him. I like his situation. I mean, the Julio thing factors into it. And then also Marshawn Lattimore, if he plays, I think that's fine. PJ Williams will go back into the slot, and he is still the weakest of the cornerbacks there. And so he could be exploitable. And then if Marshawn Lattimore doesn't play, PJ Williams will play on the outside, and they'll play a rookie as the slot cornerback. And so even more of an exploitable matchup there for Russell Gage. So out of the guys who don't have a top price tag, he might be the one who intrigues me the most. Let's get into the rest of the week. We're going to start with our rankings. As was mentioned earlier, we are recording this on Monday night, so we have just created our rankings. Sean's are in there, mine are in there. Raybon, I don't believe that yours are fully in there, but you are in the process of completing your rankings. So we are still very much kind of like in the moment of creating these. So they are tentative. They almost certainly will change as the week progresses. So think of this as a first look at the rankings. But the guys right now at the top of our quarterback rankings, we have Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Russell Wilson. Pete, kind of shooting from the hip, is there anyone else that you think probably belongs in the top tier of quarterbacks this week?
Well, I think there's a tier by themselves. It's probably Lamar Jackson. I mean, we're recording this as Monday Night Football's going on against the Rams in L.A. He is just lighting it up with one of the best first halves I've seen. And, man, it is just tough to fade him, especially over on FanDuel. It is a tougher matchup against San Francisco, but, man, he is unbelievable. Outside of those guys that you mentioned, I mean, I love Mahomes. I think he's right there, and he'll probably project pretty similarly. One guy that I think is going to finish strong, and it's not the best matchup, but we're seeing Lamar Jackson have success, is Kyler Murray. He has been an absolute stud at the quarterback position, and he's a dual threat guy. Really, I expect him to be a top five quarterback down the stretch like he has been. He started off poorly, and he's come on strong, and I think he's someone that can kind of be in that tier going forward. So I agree, Lamar Jackson, Mahomes are right there. And who was the third guy you mentioned?
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's all I was going to mention. He's a great play, but that's obviously Monday night. So, yeah, quarterback is stacked at the top, which is interesting. We'll see how the valley breaks with injuries throughout the week.
So, Pete, I'm with you there on Kyler Murray. He's a guy I am higher on in the rankings. The Rams matchup isn't really all that imposing to me, and Kyler just continues to progress on a weekly basis, especially with Christian Kirk starting to come on as his number one receiver now that he's playing more on the outside. So I really like the matchup for him. Sean, who are you relatively high on this week?
So right now I'm pretty high on Nick Foles. Right now he's my QB11. I mean, this is a great matchup for him. The extreme pass funnel defense of the Buccaneers. You know, he's clicking with DJ Chark, DD Westbrook, Chris Conley. They're using Fournette very heavily out of the backfield. So love him here. And I think, you know, he needs to have a big game to silence these people thinking that Gardner Minshew, you know, should become their starting quarterback again. So I think this is a good breakout game for him. And, you know, he's 5,700. This week it does look like I'm going to be targeting sort of these mid-range guys between like 6K and 5K. I think he sticks out at that price. But at home against Tampa Bay, I love this matchup.
Raybon, who are you relatively high on?
On the main slate, it's actually tighter pricing. So, you know, shouts to DraftKings for that. I think Sam Darnold is a guy that has kind of earned his way into that conversation. He's coming off a few big games against bad defenses, and now he gets to go up against another one in the Cincinnati Bengals, one of the worst in the league. So like Darnold, and you know, Kirk Cousins is a guy I think on the you know, obviously playing on Monday Night Football, but you know, could have Adam, looks like he's going to have Adam Thielen back. The Seahawks defense is a little more vulnerable, through the air than on the ground. And it's a pretty high total at 49, close game with a 3-point spread. And Cousins has kind of quietly started to put up some big games through the air. He's played a little better on primetime as of late, as he showed against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. So those two guys stand out for me.
All right. In terms of a player that you are relatively low on, Peter, who are you looking at right now?
Well, I think a spot that we'd be really high on, and I'll be curious to see how it plays out. So I wouldn't necessarily say low, but this Carson Wentz thing is interesting to monitor with his injury. This would be a smash spot going against the Dolphins. We just saw, you know, Baker Mayfield and this Cleveland Browns offense absolutely explode. And I'd love to be buying this Philly offense. You know, Zach Ertz coming off a big game, a big fan of Goddard. We'll see how the receivers, shape up in terms of health. But that Wentz injury is something to monitor. And if he's out, that's going to give me concern and normally a layup spot where we just are stacking against this Dolphins team. So still a pretty good line. Dolphins, it's a 46 total, and Philly's favored by 9 as of now. But I'm watching that injury and would be lower on this offense than the total is implied for if Wentz is out.
Sean, what about you? Who are you relatively low on this week?
So I'm low on Baker Mayfield. He's all the way down to QB22 this week. He ended up being my QB7 at Miami. I think, you know, we expected him to break out that game. He did. And DraftKings, for some reason, is, you know, they're pricing him at 6,200. He has a much tougher matchup this week on the road against Pittsburgh. So I'm not sure why he's priced so high. He's going to be pretty low on at that range. He doesn't really have the rushing upside to even be smart contrarian there. By taking him. So just, you know, he's out of the picture for me all the way down to QB22, just way too overpriced. Like I said, I'm going to be sticking with guys probably under 6K this week or, you know, spend up to get Lamar Mahomes, but I want nothing to Mayfield at Pittsburgh.
Raybon, what about you?
On the, I believe it's the Sunday night game, and just in terms of rankings, Deshaun Watson, who's usually in the top 5, he has that dreaded New England matchup. So he's kind of, going to be in those mid-teens for me this week. It's going to be a real tough spot for him. And in terms of guys on the main slate, I think, you know, Jared Goff, going on the road, not a spot that I generally want against Arizona. They've given up a lot of production, but I just don't think you can trust Goff and this offense, even with some of his guys a little healthier. At this point, you know, it's just been the offensive line. They've shown that, like, when they play a team that they can beat, like against Chicago, I'm not sure exactly what's going on right now in the recording as this Rams Ravens game's going on, but against the Chicago Bears, a team that the Rams, you know, thought they could beat, they ran the ball 34 times and passed only 18 times. So going against the Cardinals, where they'll be a favorite, I'm kind of concerned that a similar grip could play out.
Sean, I want to kick it to you for our quarterback prop. By the way, everyone should check out the prop tool, the player prop tool at Fantasy Labs. Over the past year, going back to the 2018 season, the props with a bet quality of 10 have a 60% win rate. So booyah for us. Sean, give us the prop.
So I wanted to do Lamar Jackson DK points against the 49ers. We all know it's a tough matchup, but as we speak, he is, you know, carving up the Rams defense right now. So I'm bumping up my prop a little bit, but right now I have it set at 24.5 DK points.
I have it projected for under. I want to take the over with my heart, but I'll stick with my number and I'll say under.
Yeah, I'll go just under. I think it is a sharp line because this 49er defense, what we have noticed is that pressure that they're getting, the one thing that's kind of thwarting that from a fantasy perspective a little bit is a mobile quarterback. So Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray have essentially put up the three biggest games against them as of late. Andy Dalton had some garbage time production early in the year, but I do think he'll be fine. I'll go slightly under just because it will probably go down as the toughest matchup he has seen this year. I guess you could argue New England as well, but yeah, I'm going under.
I get the under. He's after this game, he's going to be averaging close to 30 DraftKings points per game. We saw against New England, he got 28. 0.62 going in to face this Rams defense with Aaron Donald. Pretty impressive performance so far through the first half. I get the number. I think it's sharp. And in general, I want to be betting unders. Sean's a sharp guy. But, man, just as I said that, he just completed a dart. This guy, I mean, wow. We're talking MVP here right now. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take the under in part because, like, my number is slightly under, and I know that I have the inclination to want to be as over on Lamar Jackson as possible. So I'm trying to fight that, knowing that Sean is sharp and will inflate the lines wherever he has a chance to do so to take advantage of the bias that I bring to it. So I will take the under to try to counterbalance that. Let's talk about the running backs, the guys at the top of our rankings right now. Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, probably not a surprise on those three. But Pete, is there anyone else that you would want to include in the top tier of running backs for this week?
Yeah, those guys are all obviously awesome. You know, Christian McCaffrey was so impressive in this last week, and now he's facing the Redskins, so it's just a dream scenario. A guy I'd love to include is Saquon Barkley, but I have been just dead wrong on him. He's been awful, and I think that's really their offensive line and play calling. So he's not going to be in that category, even though he normally would be. We have these Arizona running backs. I'm not sure what's going to happen after the bye. You have the same kind of situation with the Chiefs running backs where you have a huge team total. So I don't really see anyone who would be in, like, that category or tier. Leonard Fournette would be probably the next guy for me on the list. Coming off a really big game, Tampa Bay is a funnel towards the pass, but saw Leonard Fournette really heavily involved in the passing game, and granted they were playing from behind, but he'd probably be the next guy that I would look at that I think is potentially in that tier. And, of course, Derrick Henry, you know, depending on the format you're playing, his numbers in November and December as we get into, like, the more physical part of the season have just been ridiculous coming off a big game as well. I think those are kind of the next tier, but certainly below Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook.
I still like Saquon this week. I don't have him as one of the top two guys, but I do like his matchup going against the Packers, who have been, you know, top four in fantasy points against for the running back position. So I still think it's a relatively good matchup for him, even though his offensive line isn't blocking as well as it could. That offense with, you know, it's three receivers back should probably be better than it has been. And obviously Saquon still has the potential to get some production through the air. So I still like him. I wouldn't want him above McCaffrey and Cook, but I think right now I do have him slotted in as my number three running back. Raybon, who is someone or a couple of runners you are relatively high on?
You know, Le'Veon Bell is another guy. I think he's not in that, obviously not in that McCaffrey Cook tier, but he has kind of a, he could easily be that third guy. You know, another one of these good matchups for him. He continues to be involved in the run and the pass game. So, you know, at this point, you know, you're probably just as confident in him as you are in a guy like Saquon, who, by the way, I think he dropped a pass that could have gone for like a 53-yard touchdown. So, you know, take that for what you may. You know, Saquon's not dead or anything like that. But Le'Veon Bell is a guy who, you know, the Jets' offense has just been playing more consistently better. They've been playing good run defense, which gives them the opportunity to play some ball control on the other side and get the ball back for their offense. Josh Jacobs is a guy, you know, can kind of buy low on him coming off a bad game and that whole offense coming off a bad game. This Chiefs run defense, one of the worst in the league. So we saw Derrick Henry a couple weeks ago. It was a real big game against them. And I think Jacobs is another guy. And both of those guys, Bell 7,200, Jacobs 6,900, have that upside to match, you know, a high 20s, a low 30s game that, you know, that McCaffrey's pretty much almost a lock to put up.
All right, Sean, what about you? Who are you relatively high on?
Peter already stole my guy, you know, for all the same reasons. Leonard Fournette, you know, this is a tough matchup against the Buccaneers. Like I mentioned earlier, clearly a pass funnel defense, but they'll be able to get around that by just dumping it off to him. He's averaged 8 catches the past 2 games. And I speculated that, you know, Foles taking over, he'll opt to, you know, dump down to Fournette more than, you know, running the ball. So that wasn't too surprising. But, you know, the double dong game, the 2-touchdown game, was a long time coming. That was not a fluke. I've been calling, you know, he's going to have the volume going forward, but, you know, he was due for touchdown. So I don't think that was fluky. I don't think he's point chasey. So he's a steal at 7.5K, I believe. Still a good value for him this week. And then Philip Lindsay, you know, the Broncos had mentioned heading into week 11, they wanted to make him the workhorse back. And they've stuck to their word. You know, he's had 32 touches to Royce Freeman's 13 the past 2 games. Unfortunately, you know, they were blown out last week, so we didn't see really the production you'd expect from Lindsay. But, you know, I think he's going to be the workhorse back down the stretch. And this should be a closer game against the Chargers. So like him a lot at 5K. I think he has a ton of upside here. I think we can bank on him, you know, seeing a higher portion of the workload than we've seen the first half of the season.
All right, Pete, at running back, who are you relatively low on?
Well, the Saquon thing that that Raybon just brought up, I saw that catch, desperately needed him in some tournaments, and just, man, I don't blame Saquon. He's still a generational player. I really believe that. I know it's something I brought up earlier in the year, but I have not seen this athletic of a runner since Adrian Peterson. It's really the play calling and the offensive line. But I'm still relatively low on him this week. I'm just not trusting this team. I think the Packers can play well in this spot after just a total dud. So that'd be the guy that that I'm relatively low on. I really like the Le'Veon Bell call as well. I was going to bring him up, so I just want to emphasize we want to be taking guys against the Cincinnati team. So that one guy I'm definitely low on relative to the field is Saquon.
Sean, what about you? Who are you relatively low on?
So last week, I feel like we were all on Derrick Henry. It was a pretty obvious smash spot at home against the Jaguars. But this week, you know, they're going to be on the road at Indy, much tougher run D, and he's 7.6K. He's a guy, you know, I love taking Henry this time of year, but he's a guy I'm willing to fade. I think he's going to be, you know, pretty heavily owned. And, you know, if he doesn't find the end zone once or twice, I don't think he'll hit here. I think the Colts will do a pretty reasonable job limiting him. And then the other guy is Chris Carson. He's not on the main slate, but just for showdown slate and season-long purposes, he's a guy we have to be pretty concerned about. You know, he fumbled on back-to-back attempts. The second attempt, they actually lost the fumble. He's been dealing with this issue all season long. And then Rashad Penny just went bonkers. 14 carries for 120 yards and a touchdown. So we could see more of a committee going forward. Right now I have him all the way down to running back 18 with a pretty low floor, since we don't really know how this is going to shape out. Pete Carroll has been, you know, supportive of him in the past, but he's sort of hinting that they could split carries. So this is something we'll monitor throughout the week. But right now I have him as a low on RB2.
All right, Raybon. I believe you are relatively low on Leonard Fournette. Talk about that.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of like sniping going on here. Like some people high on Barkley, low on Barkley. So with Fournette, my thing is it's more of a DFS thing, obviously. But I like Bell and Jacobs, those two guys I mentioned, for a slightly cheaper price tag, just because I do think, and it was impressive what he did against a strong Tennessee run defense. But now you're talking about the Bucs, who not only are the number one run defense in terms of DVOA coming into last week, but they are also number two in DVOA on passes to running backs. So that is a little bit of a concern, I think, ultimately, because even last week when he put up the huge numbers, a lot of it came with just like a weirdly wonky game script where the Jags gave up a ton of points in that early in the third quarter, and then Fournette got a couple of short touchdowns in essentially comeback, you know, garbage time mode almost. So a little concerned about him, about paying the full price for him, because I do think that this Bucs defense, if they want to, could clamp down on him a little more than maybe we expect.
All right, Sean, give us the running back prop.
So back to what I just mentioned, you know, Chris Carson and Rashad Penny, this is a pretty tricky position or spot to project right now. So curious to hear what you guys think, but I did a rushing yards spread for them. So I have Chris Carson favored by 23.5 rushing yards over Rashad Penny at home against the Vikings.
I will take the over. I think that's probably a pretty good line, and mine is actually pretty close to that, but just slightly over. And part of it is just it's so hard to know what to expect out of Pete Carroll's backfield splits in general, like in the post Marshawn era. And then especially since we have seen Chris Carson produce when given the chance, and like the general inertia of that team, I just kind of figure that at some point they will go back to Chris Carson. But I don't know. I think that line is pretty close. I'll still take the over, though.
Over meaning Chris Carson minus 23.5.
Yes. Sorry. Okay. Chris Carson. Yes. I'm a Chris Carson.
It's essentially like how many more carries do you expect Carson to get than Penny? You know, when he kind of had the fumbling issues before early in the year, he got about five more than Penny in a game. Besides that, it hadn't been close until last week when Penny got six more. But that, again, that is kind of a pretty big trend and turnaround. So I'm going to go, I'll go with the under. I'll go with Penny here. And, you know, because there's always a chance you have Carson just kind of, when he's in the game, they kind of focus in on him and he gets a low yard per carry or something like that. So I'll go the under.
I'm completely guessing. Just no idea. Optimistic for Penny. I need him. So I will say Rashad Penny. They invest a lot of draft capital, but I have no clue. And I could easily see Pete Carroll, you know, we believe in Chris Carson. Watch us just feed him the rock. He's our guy. I mean, just a total guess.
It's going to be so tilting when CJ ProSize leads the team and carries this week. It'll happen one of these weeks.
Travis Homer.
If we get coach talk on this, like, how are we going to incorporate that? I mean, I just feel like it's going to be a hard situation to project regardless.
Well, we did get some coach speak on this. Pete Carroll said, competition is a beautiful thing and no reason not to get Penny back in there next week.
We'll get these guys. I missed that.
The rest of the quote was, we'll get these guys hammering away. So I don't hear much support for Carson there. So
I want to buy out of my position.
That seems like an endorsement for Penny.
Yeah, I'm already counting that as a loss. That was bad. Okay, let's get to the wide receiver. We have at the top of our rankings right now, Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans. Pete, is there any other wide receiver that you would think of as being in that top tier this week?
Okay, this player is not in that tier, but I think we have to recognize how good this guy can be. And Sean already talked about the quarterback and Foles, but I can see a massive game for Shark here. I'm a big believer in his talent. I think he's not obviously in that tier, but man, he's projecting extremely high for me. I have him as like a top 10 receiver this week, which is saying a lot. I get it. But he is right there. Not in that tier, obviously, but he's someone I'm going to be buying. And this is just the dream spot for Tampa Bay, which is why he's so high in my projections right now.
Yeah, and in all fairness, in our rankings right now, I have him in the top 10. Sean, you have him in the top 10. Raybon, I imagine that you will probably also have him in the top 10.
Right now, I haven't.
Number one.
I literally have him. I'm looking at my receiver, and again, I got to tweak some things, which is why I didn't want to just like paste it in and tilt you all, but he's number two right now. He's behind only Michael Thomas.
Yeah, okay. So I had him when I did my first run through, he was number four for me. And I adjusted down a little bit manually, like on the second wave of like tweaks of things that I do. But yeah, I think he is right there. He has the dream spot matchup. And it's horrible that we are talking about this right now, because as we are talking, I know Sean is over there increasing the prop that he's going to give us later in the show. But DJ Shark, I believe, Pete, that we are all right there with you. Raybon, you are on Shark. Anyone else that you like this week?
Yeah, so his teammates, D.D. Westbrook, you could throw Chris Conley in that, to be completely honest, because Foles and Conley do have some chemistry going back to their days in Kansas City. But I think D.D. Westbrook is a guy who he's been a high-volume guy when he's been in the lineup, you know, over 20% target share, and that's what you're always looking to see from these wide receivers. So, you know, he's a guy that I think, you know, Chark is going to get his. You know, Tampa Bay, we mentioned it. They're really good against running back. So if for some reason Fournette just gets, you know, a reception or two under expectation, you know, in the short passing game, I think it's Westbrook who would be the guy to kind of pick up that slack underneath. And he still has that upside to post kind of you know, a top five, top 10 week as well. But he should be money in PPR either way.
All right, Sean, who are you relatively high on?
So I'm high on any wide receiver with the first name Devontae. I love Devontae Adams this week. He's in my top four. I think we're long overdue for just a blowout game by him. You know, we saw Rodgers sort of flinging it deep to him. They didn't connect, but they're going to connect soon. I think this week against the Giants, he should have a big game. He's seen at least 10 targets and 7 receptions his past 3 games. Just hasn't put it all together yet. And then Devontae Parker, I'm going to keep banging the drum for him. You know, while he's still underpriced, he's only 5,700 still. He's 8th in the NFL in air yards the past 3 games. Ever since Preston Williams went on the IR, I thought that was, you know, sort of a line in the sand where we were going to see him really take over and become a wide receiver too. So yeah, he's 5,700 this week. You know, I'm going to keep playing him until he gets priced, you know, 6K or more. I think he's that good. And, you know, at home against the Eagles, they're going to have to throw a ton here. You know, I can't imagine them you know, running Kalen Ballage for 0 yards every other play, they're going to have to throw. So I think Parker's a lock for, you know, 8 or more targets. So yeah, I love him a lot in this matchup as well.
All right, Pete, a wide receiver or a couple wide receivers you were relatively down on this week?
First off, love the Devontae Parker call. I think that's extremely sharp, and I've been trying to buy him as much as I can, and hopefully we'll see just a huge game coming up. In terms of wide receivers that I'm lower on, I think Odell Beckham, where he was just massive chalk. I love the tweet that you put out there, Friedman, him showing up in the Rolls Royce with his little Beckham thing coming up out of the car was pretty dope. But now, going into Pittsburgh, this is just a much, much tougher matchup. And while, you know, Beckham can win any matchup and have a huge game, we just haven't seen that this year. So I'm bumping him a little bit down. And I think this week he'll be a little higher owned after everyone saw last week, which was a good game, but not a great game. But now going against Pittsburgh, just a much, much tougher spot, divisional game. So I'm lower on Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham, all those guys in the Cleveland offense.
Sean, what about you?
I'm low on Cortland Sutton right now. Right, he's my wide receiver 27. I always mention my tiers article that he'd be a for sure wide receiver one on just about any other team. You know, they're facing the Chargers this week. He was able to overcome the matchup with Casey Hayward in week 5 for a pretty solid line of 4 catches, 92 yards, and a touchdown. But the Chargers are getting Derwin James back this week. I think that's going to, you know, take this defense to a whole other level. He's going to have a tough time. And, you know, with Brandon Allen under center, he's looking pretty rough. So I can imagine, you know, we should see Drew Lock make his debut once he's healthy in the next few weeks. But right now, Brandon Allen looks pretty rough. So I think the Chargers should be able to shut down Sutton since he's really their only weapon right now. And another guy I wanted to mention is this Golden Tate. He's, you know, put up wide receiver 12 numbers since week 6. I think he's benefited from a lot of these guys being out. But you see, you know, Sterling Shepard came back last week and Evan Ingram could return this week. And, you know, he's going to see a lower target share. He's a guy that does depend on volume. He's not going to bail you out every week with a touchdown. So I just want to be cautious about him. He's all the way down outside of my top 40 right now. So make sure you check, you know, our updated rankings when the time comes. But he's a guy you'll probably want to sit this week, given if everybody's back healthy.
And Raybon, what about you?
For me, it's another guy in that Broncos-Chargers game, and that's Keenan Allen. You know, he's up at 6,500 on DraftKings. In his last 5 matchups with the Denver Broncos, he's averaging 5 catches, which is actually pretty, you know, below his standard, but only 49.4 yards. I think that speaks to Chris Harris and what he's able to do against Allen. And also, you know, Sean kind of mentioned it. The Chargers getting Derwin James back. Brandon Allen really struggling. This does not project as a game script where if Allen is kind of quiet and the Chargers go, you know, to some of their other offensive weapons, where the game script could bail him out because you see an exasperated Phillip Rivers like throwing 5 interceptions and them having to score like 3 touchdowns, you know, in the second half to make it a game. So I just don't think it's a good spot necessarily for a blow up. For Keenan, so I'll be fading him at that price, and he'll probably be a couple spots lower in the rankings than consensus.
All right, one guy I'm relatively low on, and this should seem obvious, but DeAndre Hopkins going against Stephon Gilmore. I expect some people would think that maybe they'll use bracket coverage, but all year long, the Patriots have just been putting Gilmore on the number one opposing receiver because he can shut them down. And we saw what he did last week against Amari Cooper, held him to 2 targets, 0 receptions. I have Hopkins outside of the top 10 right now, and I don't know if that's, you know, being super takey or something, but I have so much respect for Stephon Gilmore. It's amazing to think that the Patriots are 10-1 and they do not have a legitimate MVP candidate on their team, which kind of speaks to the strength of their defense. And I think Stephon Gilmore right now is the defensive player of the year. Like, I don't know how much hype he's getting for it, but I mean, based on what he's doing and what that defense is doing and how it's built basically around what he's able to do to opposing number one receivers, I think he should be the defensive player in the year. And I just don't want to go with Hopkins against him, especially because I think on the other side of the field, Will Fuller has a exploitable matchup And Fuller, he gets targets whenever he has a matchup that he can win. And going against Jason McCourty, and I have respect against McCourty, who's a very solid defender on his own. But at this point, the guy's like 32, 33. Like, he's slower than he used to be. Like, Fuller could beat him multiple times down the field. So given that there's another option that Deshaun Watson can go to, I just kind of don't see him forcing the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. So that's why I'm fading Hopkins. Raybon, give me your thoughts.
I just wanted to know how much of this Hopkins fade is residual anger from a Cowboys fan for Jason Garrett's brilliant game plan to free up Amari Cooper against Stephon Gilmore last week.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, really, it's not. It's just based on the numbers. Ranking him number 11, like I feel that is too low. But I just look at the numbers and I don't know if I can make a good case for putting him much higher, other than the fact that, like, they should give him volume because he's DeAndre Hopkins. But why would they give him volume when he's going against Stephon Gilmore?
I almost wonder, because, you know, Bill Belichick always one step ahead, right? I wonder, especially Fuller coming off the big game, if they view Fuller as like that guy that they have to, you know how sometimes they'll double the, like, they'll put the, like, Gilmore on the number two and double the number one. I almost wonder if
they could have done that last week with Gallup. Yeah. And they did. Like, you would think that if they were going to do that, they would have done that already at some point this season. But it's almost as if the Patriots are like, we know we could do this other thing that you think we might do, but we're so good that we don't even need to. We're just going to put our best guy against your best guy and humiliate you that way.
Definitely fair.
So anyway, I'm fading Hopkins. Sean, give us the wide receiver prop.
So you hinted to it earlier, but I'm going to do the battle of the DJs. Who will have more DK points this week, DJ Chark or DJ Moore? Chark is at home against the Buccaneers, and Moore is home against the Redskins. I was going to set a line for this, but I'm just saying it's a pick 'em. I think DJ Moore has been just a beast the past five or six games now. I think he has a higher floor of the two, but Chark has a slightly higher projection.
I think it's also game script related, right? Because you look at the Redskins and they are one of the most run heavy teams under Bill Callahan, and that game could just devolve into, you know, like a 19-16 game that we saw last week. Most of the Redskins games outside of that one Jets game where they went behind 34-3 have been on the low scoring side compared to the NFL average. And so I think that's always a possibility because the Panthers have also played really good pass defense. And so with the Bucks, it's like the opposite. It's like you're usually just getting some type of ridiculous game script that tends to be on the higher scoring side. So that's why I would go Chark there.
Yeah, I'm going Chark too, but DJ Moore has been a baller. And DJ Moore is a great play that we didn't reference and probably a really good pivot. I mean, you can play McCaffrey and Moore in lineups, but if you are going to fade McCaffrey, I think getting exposure to Moore makes a lot of sense for leverage.
Hey, Sean, I know you're probably not going to believe this, although maybe you might because you are the one who set the line. But I have this actually dead even between the two of them. I'll go DJ Moore just to balance the nice for you.
Sean has said great lines, and by no means have I been sharp over the years trying to pick over under. But one thing with Lamar Jackson, he's averaging 30 fantasy points per game on DraftKings essentially after this game. He's just not played a lot of fourth quarters this year, and he might not play this fourth quarter. So something else to keep in mind in this San Francisco game when you're trying to project Lamar Jackson. Guy is pretty good.
All right, let's close this out by looking at the tight ends. The guys at the top of our rankings right now, it's been a weird year where some of these guys have been injured at different points, and then you had Austin Hooper jumping in there in the top three, and Darren Waller started out the season pretty hot. But right now, the three guys at the top of our rankings are the big three. You have Kelce, you have Ertz, and you have Kittle. Pete, anyone else that you think should be included in the top tier of tight ends this week?
No. Kelce, Kittle, Ertz, I think that's where you're looking. Kittle, what a baller. I mean, comes out with a freaking broken bone in his ankle and all these injuries and just houses it for 61 yards. Huge fan of that. Need more of those guys. And this week specifically, I think you have to look at Kelce as just an absolute smash spot against this Raiders defense that's gotten killed by the pass all year. So I'm paying up for tight end again. I have been in all formats. Including the offseason, and I'm going to be buying the premium tight ends for sure.
Sean, who are you relatively high on?
So for the bargain tight ends, I think the pricing came out before Eric Ebron was placed on IR. So Jack Doyle's only 3,300. He seems like a pretty high floor guy to get that cheap. He should bump up to maybe 6 or 8 targets. Mo Alley-Cox will probably take over somewhat of the Eric Ebron role, but it's not going to demand the target share that Ebron would get. So love Doyle at 3,300 right now at home against the Titans.
Chris, what about you?
I think this, the Rams, I mentioned Jared Goff, don't like him, but one guy I do like is Gerald Everett. I think, this has been the spot. It's Cardinals going against tight ends. I think Everett's had, kind of a quiet last few weeks. People probably will be off of him because he's not having too hot of a game on Monday night. Cook's back, Wood's back, but I think this is a good spot for an upside game from Everett. So like him if you're kind of fading the top tier tight ends. And a lot of times what happens is people fade the top tier tight ends and they go with that chalky cheap option like a Doyle or somebody in that range. So I think Everett, just for pricing purposes on DraftKings at 4,600, is kind of in that purgatory where you could have some leverage there. So like him.
I will be interested in the practice reports that we get for Austin Hooper to see how healthy he is. And then also, kind of correlated with that, what we hear about Julio Jones and his health, has the injured shoulder, playing on a short week. So we'll just be curious to see where Hooper slots in for me. Right now I have him as the number 2 tight end, but I think that's probably aggressive and I will probably move him down a little bit, but I think he has a lot of potential. And then the second, what Pete said about Kelce, I am pretty high on him this week. He has historically slayed the Raiders anytime he's had a chance to go against them. In week 2, granted that was without Tyreek Hill playing, but in week 2 had 107 yards and a touchdown. Last year in week 13, he had 168 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like, he just destroys the Raiders 2 times a year. So this seems like a great time to load up on him. Pete, a tight end that you are relatively down on, who are you looking at?
Any tight end not named Kelce, Kittle, or Ertz, I'm jamming those guys in this week. And specifically, Kelce, I'm with you. So going to keep the analysis short and simple. I do think there's a couple value plays, but building lineups, I think you want to prioritize these top tight ends.
All right, Sean, what about you? Who are you looking to stay away from?
Yeah, I would agree with that take, and that's why I'm probably avoiding Mark Andrews at 5,700, way overpriced for the tough matchup. He has a skill set. He can still overcome it, but in that price range, if you're going to go that route, I'd prefer Hunter Henry or even Darren Waller. I guess Hunter Renfro's injury was pretty bad. He, broke a rib and a lung contusion. So I think Darren Waller could benefit one or two targets a game with Renfro out over the middle. They don't really have anybody else that Carr will target. So I would just prefer Henry or Waller in this price range. I have Mark Andrews 2 to 3 points projected below each of those guys at 5,700.
Raybon, what about you?
For me, it's Mike Gesicki. Came through with a touchdown last week, liked him, but this week he's going against Philadelphia, who has notoriously, in this Jim Schwartz era, been one of the better teams against tight ends. This year, they're number 7 in DVOA against tight ends, and I'm with Sean and Pete. I think Devontae Parker is going to be the top target in this game, and they'll probably spread it around outside of him. I don't think it's one of those weeks where Gesicki kind of is that clear number 2 guy for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
All right, Sean, give us the tight end prop.
So I think I already know Pete's answer to this, but I ran my simulator for the main slate as to who will be the top scoring tight end. You can either choose Kelce, Ertz, Henry, and Evan Ingram, or the entire field.
I hate they included Evan Ingram.
I know. So I have him, 50-50 to play, and that's what helped balance it out to a 50-50 prop.
Kittle is one of my favorite players in the NFL, but a tougher matchup versus Ravens team, although they have really good corners, so we'll see how that pans out. But, yeah, with Kelce, I'm going to take that initial group you listed.
Yeah, same. You have Kelce, you have Ertz, and you have Hunter Henry, who, that's 3 of the 4, I think, top tight ends for this week. So, yeah, it's tough to fade Kittle, and obviously something crazy could happen. But, yeah, I'll go with that group too.
I'll go with the field just to kind of balance it out a little bit. And having Kittle, with the field, I think helps. And I think Evan Engram probably will not play, which I'll take the bet on that. So that's kind of where part of this comes down.
These props. I mean, Sean, you're just the man. I wish I
thank you. It's gonna be fun when after all this, Tyler Higbee scores two touchdowns and takes you guys down.
Just being able to set a good line is a signal that you have great projections and a good system. So shout out to Sean.
Everyone, again, have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Hope you enjoy your pie and your football. That is going to do it for this episode. You can follow Sean, Chris, and Peter in the Action Network app at @_oddsmaker, Chris Raybon, and CSU Ram 88. Use the app to get real-time odds and track your bet for free. Also, be sure to check out the rest of our episodes and live shows this week. Please subscribe to and rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, radio.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you again next episode.
We're finished talking.